Yes, it was in Sweden that I think the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me occurred. I'd been out there, oh, less than a year, so that my own knowledge of the language was poor. And it happened late one night. I should explain that at this point we would say courting my present wife. And she lived on the fifth floor of a block of flats in one part of Stockholm, and I lived on the fourth floor in another part of town. And I came home tired one evening. It was between 11 o'clock and midnight. And I got into the lift in the ground floor in my block of flats. And because I was tired in this confusion of fifth and fourth floors, I must have pressed the fifth floor button, but didn't realize it. And the lift sailed up, and I went up with it. When it reached the fourth floor, I automatically moved towards the door, and then was surprised when the lift didn't stop. And the surprise must have showed on my face, because at the same time as I passed the fourth floor and realized the lift wasn't stopping, I noticed the lady who lived next door to me, in the flat next door, and a man, obviously about to leave, was waiting for the lift. He had a coat on and a hat in his hand and so on. And they looked surprised when the lift didn't stop, because they thought that they'd called it, and I looked surprised the lift didn't stop because I thought it should stop. And I sailed past them, and these blank looks of faces past each other. The lift stopped at the fifth floor, and I must have been distracted by thinking of these two and thinking, well, I thought she lived on her own and I'd never seen her have any visitors before. But when the lift stopped, I, in a sort of reflex way, got out of it, this up on the fifth floor. Now, in Sweden, you can send the lift back down to the bottom by pressing another button. I decided not to do this, but to let them call the lift back to the fourth floor so that he could get in and go. Just at that moment, I made my fatal error, because I thought, if I now walk back down the stairs from the fifth floor to the fourth floor, I'm going to look foolish. I thought, what I will do is wait until he's gone, and then I'll go down and let myself in. So sure enough, the lift moved down to the fourth floor and stopped, and I waited for him to get into the lift and leave the building. And I waited, and I waited, and nothing happened. And suddenly I realized that nothing had happened, that what I'd been waiting for, that he would go out, he hadn't gone.
Oh, dear.
Then I heard whispering from the floor below. And I managed to gather that they were saying, that man who went up in the lift just now, he got out of the lift, but he didn't go into one of the doors. He must be still up there. What do you think he's doing? So I thought, well, if I am absolutely silent, they'll think that it's late at night and I was very quiet letting myself into a flat on the top floor.
That's what you hoped.
Well, that's what I hoped. And they'd think, well, he's gone, so it doesn't matter, and they disappear. So I waited. And suddenly a thought struck me like a cold shower. I was standing on the fifth floor. There were the doors of six flats round me. Any one of those doors could open at any moment and somebody come out. I wouldn't be able to go up. It was the top floor of the building. I wouldn't be able to go down because these two were down there and I was now committed beyond going back down the floor. At the same time, I had vaguely in my mind that they might be saying a passionate good night and think I was eavesdropping as well. So there I was stuck. At this point, I was near panic. So I thought, I will move very, very quietly across the landing, and there's half a flight of stairs that goes up to the attic, and there's a separate door to that. I started to move across the floor as quietly as I could, and I have an ankle that sometimes cracks when I walk on it. No carpets in this hall. Crack, and it echoed all down the stairs. And I heard two little indrawn breaths down on the floor below. So I hopped as quietly as I could across these few flights of stairs and stopped, and there was a window there. And I stood there looking out at the black night, really wondering what was going to happen next, but hoping that they'd go away. But again, I waited. Nobody came out. And then I heard footsteps beginning to come up from the floor below and realized that this man at last had decided he was coming up to work out what was going on. So I just stood there and waited, and I didn't know what to do. I felt like a trapped animal. I just didn't know what was going to be my next move. And then I heard the voice behind me asking me if I was waiting for something or what I was doing there. And I turned round, and I thought the only thing to do is to make a clean breast of it, to explain it. And I tried to explain it.
Oh, that would be hard.
But I'd only been in Sweden a year, and my language completely broke down. And I must have talked gibberish at this man because he started to walk backwards away from this is a madman. He goes up to the fifth floor and stands there. Now he talks absolute nonsense at me. It sounds a bit like Swedish, but I don't understand it, and it doesn't fit. I could see he wasn't understanding. So I thought, well, the only answer to this is to get my keys out of my pocket, which I did. As I reached for my pocket, he took several steps backwards, thinking I was going for a gun or something. I pulled my keys out, held them up to show I was a bona fide resident of the block of flats, beckoned to him to follow me, and he looked very puzzled. Walked down the one flight of steps, across to the door next to the one he'd come out of with his woman, put the key in the lock, turned it, let myself in, and all I could think of to say was, good night, close the door.